We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Hanley.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score. Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now, and he is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to this program, and a dear personal friend to us, and also our buddy Joe Fortenbaugh, who's in today. Good morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Joe's here, and I know you need some lines, early lines from him, so he's
How you doing, Big Z?
I'm good. You're up a little early.
Yeah, a little bit compared to usual. Last time I saw Biggs was pre-gaming for the Metallica show, Super Bowl halftime. Fun fact. Came over, drank all my beer, and then ditched me to go smoke a cigar.
You know, and Joe, of course, went to law school, and you sounded like you did, Big Z, yesterday when you were grilling John Fox. You had him up on the stand, and you weren't letting him off the hook.
Deion Sims is the guy they paid a lot of money to this offseason, $10 million guaranteed for the tight end to come over from the Miami Dolphins in free agency, and we literally haven't seen him since that Saints game, and they had the bye week. They had the game last week, and it obviously is apparent that Deion will not play Sunday against the Lions. He hasn't been out there, so something has really got him off track. And to just trying to get a little clarity, because Fox had said on Wednesday that Deion exercised on the side during practice, you know, which sounds like a
jumping jacks.
Right, yeah, step in the right direction anyway, right? And then, okay, so did he exercise today? No, he was tired, so.
Did he get his steps in? Yeah.
I love that you asked it that way. Yeah. Did he exercise today?
He was tired.
He was doing some jumping jacks.
I was told he was tired. I like that, too.
Well, no Deion Sims, though, means more playing time for Adam Shaheen. The rookie means more playing time for the young player, Daniel Brown. Why not get those guys in the mix more, see what they can do? No problem here with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brad, I think that the problem is that the Bears' margin for victory is very small. They really need all hands on deck, and when they suffer injuries, it just exposes sort of what the how flawed the plan was. And you know, Zach Miller, they're you can argue there was an inevitability to him getting hurt, certainly a much worse injury than anyone anticipated, and, you know, you wish nothing but the best for him moving forward. Having said that, I'm sure that the reason they got Deion Sims was because they wanted a guy that could block and a guy that could do some things. And unfortunately, you look at this situation now, and my goodness gracious, it's almost like Zach Miller goes down, and then you lose your best option at tight end with him without realizing it.
Yeah, and they got Sims because they felt he was a really talented, rugged inline blocker, and they thought he had a lot more upside in the passing game. We've yet to see that upside in the passing game. 9 catches for a 113 and a touchdown so far, but, you know, a lot of the passing game has been, you know, going through a rough growth period because they've got a rookie quarterback, because some of the other things that are going on. So perhaps you see him flourish a little bit more as a pass catcher in the future, but you're right. They just have more injuries here, and the depth that they sort of talked about being a strength in training camp, I don't know if you can say it still is, at least at some of these positions.
You write about Shaheen today. What do you think his ceiling is? Is it too early to tell? It seems like he's earnest and trying to be as good as he can, but obviously we've just maybe seen a flash or two at this point.
Yeah, you know, where his ceiling is, I don't know. I mean, people called him Baby Gronk when he was drafted. Let's tap the brakes on that because you know, part of what made Gronk great was Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? I mean, let's be real here. But, boy, when you saw him in the open field with that reception against Green Bay and he was motoring, I mean, that looked really good. I can tell you that he definitely has gotten better as a blocker. And with his frame, as big as he is, I think he's got a chance to be a devastating run blocker. It's going to take some time for him to catch on as a guy in the passing game. He's got four targets. Okay, he doesn't control all of that, obviously. But he does control, to a degree, his playing time the rest of the way by the quality of what he puts on the field when he is out there. So I think he had about 35 snaps this past week with Sims projected to be out again. I think it's fair to think the number is going to be similar again this week. I know they want to use him in the red zone. He's such a big target. So I kind of want to see more from him here in the final seven games. The numbers certainly don't convince anyone that it was a good draft pick at this point, but it's real early. And O.J. Howard, who was the top tight end taken off the board by the Buccaneers guys, I think he's got 19 catches for Tampa Bay. I wrote it in today's story. So that's evidence there that it's probably the second most difficult position for a rookie to come in and make an immediate impact in the National Football League after the quarterback, and that's because these guys are asked to do so many different things. Sorry about that. O.J. Howard, 14 catches for 227 yards, and some people thought he might go top 10 coming out of Alabama.
Big Z, what's the latest with Danny Trevathan, and is this the type of injury that if it keeps him out this week could linger in the next week as well?
Well, he's got a calf injury, and I would be surprised if he plays because we haven't seen him practice yet this week, and he missed all last week. Generally, you want to see a guy that's been out more than a week get a couple days of practice in, and that's not going to happen now. You know, talking about a soft tissue injury with the calf muscle, and defensive coordinator Vic Fangio yesterday said, hey, you know, it can be kind of like a hamstring injury. You don't see as many calf muscle injuries as you do hamstrings, but they're delicate in the same manner. I think that's probably how Vic was comparing them, that you know, they take a little bit of time. So I don't think we see Trevathan against the Lions, and that doesn't bode well after the Bears gave up a $160 on the ground to the Packers last week. So that means Christian Jones will likely call the signals in the huddle for the defense again this week, and he'll start at inside linebacker next to Nick Kwiatkoski.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Vic talk about not only you know Mr. Danny Trevathan with run defense and such, but having that consistent voice. You know, as much as we talk about continuity with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, having that consistent voice on defense, calling the play and just commanding the defense and everyone knowing what they're supposed to do, how important that is.
Yeah, and it just the communication is so key, because how many times when you see the defense give up a big play, or there are a couple guys looking around with the you know expression of what the hell was going on that play, you know you get just a miscommunication between two players out there, and that's all it takes sometimes to break a really big play. But they felt that Christian did a pretty good job with it last week, and he'll get another shot. You know, he's playing as well as he's ever played, and it was an adjustment moving to the interior there for him, but you can tell he's playing a lot faster. There isn't as much hesitation. He doesn't have false steps with great regularity, and I think you could probably say that he was guilty of some of that stuff in the past.
How would you rate Pace's free agent signings this year? It's a question that we got on the text line here, and it's a legitimate one. There's been a lot of ups and downs to it, and you know, I guess is Prince the one who's worked out the best because he's starting the most, or who how would you rate it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Prince is playing an awful lot.
Teams are throwing it opposite him, which tells you they respect him, right?
Yeah, although some of that, I think you're going to have a natural bias in the numbers of people going at the other side because it's just an easier and quicker throw for a right-handed quarterback. It's all right in front of him. He sees it. It's easier for him to diagnose. But, you know, some of the – you talk about Marcus Wheaton. You talk about Deion Sims, Quentin Demps. I mean, these are some guys that
– Mike Glennon.
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't, there's not a bigger bomb than that. So you're looking at some players and you're saying, well, you know, some of these Demps did a couple things when he was out there. He's been injured, and it wasn't a situation where he was an injury history guy. I mean, he got a broken arm. That broken bones happen in a – It's not a context.
Listen,
a collision support.
There's plenty of big stars that are on the shelf, Biggsy. I mean, you're not telling us anything we don't know.
Yeah, so it's just that's the problem. When you go into free agency and you want to fill, you know, you want to get guys at six different positions, guess what? You're not going to hit all doubles and triples. You know, in fact, you're not going to get on base every time. You're going to have some swing and miss, and there's been some swing and miss to his free agency as well.
What was the pick, Brad? We've gone over it a little bit ourselves. What?
I think the number is kind of low, in my opinion. I don't think the Lions are great, and the Lions' problems are real apparent. They struggle to run the football. They really struggle to rush the passers. Ziggy Ansah's having like an all-time dud contract year, okay? He's going to be a free agent after this year, and he's not heading toward the open market like you'd want to head toward the open market for a guy who was an elite pass rusher just a couple years ago. So their problems are pretty apparent, but they've got number nine, Matthew Stafford, who's one of the better quarterbacks out there and certainly the best healthy quarterback in the division right now. They've got more playmakers on offense, and they're playing relatively well on defense with arguably more playmakers than the Bears with, you know, Trevathan out and some of the other things. So I could see the Bears running the ball really well and controlling this thing and winning a close one, but I picked the Lions by about a touchdown, maybe 24-17, guys.
All right, Big Z, have a great day, brother, and have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He's going to have a good Sunday for himself, covering the Bears against the Lions. Should be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
A little blustery.
A little brisk, but no rain, no snow. So we'll be good. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll get back. We've got a lot to talk to Joe about, and we'll, I want to get back to some of your talk on the offensive coordinator stuff, Joe, because, that's, I think, the best case scenario for the Bears would be to give, you know, I'm saying not what they should do, but what they want to do would be to give Fox like a 1-year extension, have him do well enough to keep him, and then bring in an offensive coordinator who they could then kind of have in position to take over from Fox. I think that's the dream scenario from their perspective. I don't know that that's actually something that could happen.
Or the fans would embrace.
But I think that is kind of the way they look.
They're ideal. We save money on the head coach.
Mully and Hanley, Joe Fortenbaugh is with us on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Danny had been playing very good for us there for a good, 4 or 5 week stretch where he had played his best football for us since he had gotten here. So obviously you're going to miss a guy like that once he goes down.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Joe Fortenbaugh kind enough to sit in today. And we're going to get to Joe's picks in a little bit, but it's interesting. You talk about the continuity of a play caller with a particular quarterback. And again, you know, Brian makes a good point. How many of those head coaches were offensive-minded guys? Sometimes they're play callers as well. Sometimes Sean Payton would be the guy that you'd really look to rather than Pete Carmichael, although I think he probably is atop Ryan Pace's list just because familiarity. They're meant to be friends, and that usually helps. It's good to have a friend in that business because so many people are kind of after your job. Everybody's kind of – no one really has your back. They're kind of looking at your back, and they're looking for a soft spot in which to stab it and take control. I think there's a lot of that that goes on. And so I do understand, as much as we, you know, we kind of put on a curious face and think about the nepotism of the league and how did this guy get his job? Oh, my goodness. You know, how it's great to see the Niners hire another coach's son as the head coach. They've done that a few times. How did that guy ever get on their radar? And I think that, you know, you can be cynical like that, but I do think that families in football, you do grow up around the game. You do spend all your time, you know, you bring your kids into your life and you're kind of teaching them different things. So I have no problem with that. Pete Carmichael was a coach with the Bears, was part of Dick Durant's staff. And I remember talking to him. He was very close with Belichick. And when they made the when they gave up the draft pick to get Belichick in New England, I was like, wow, a first-round pick. You know, and he was like, oh, no, you know, Belichick's like worth a first-round pick. And I'm like, I don't think there's any coach. You know, like I couldn't have been more misinformed. And I'm, you know, poor Pete Carmichael has shuffled off this mortal coil, but I'll always remember that moment because it was like, yeah, that guy does know what he's talking about, as opposed to me, who thought that a first round pick was more valuable than the best coach in the league. But I do think that there are guys that can do that job. There are plenty of guys out there, and you know, you look at what's going on with the Rams. That was kind of an under the radar pick. That was a pick that kind of shocked a lot of people. That would be the hope, that the Bears would be able to get someone like that who could win with their coach for a long time. But then you think about the process that people go through to get hired in Chicago, and you think about the people that make those decisions. Is it Ryan Pace's decision? And if it is, if it's just Ryan Pace, does he know enough? Has he been around enough? You know, this is the kid GM that they brought in.
Which would concern you more? They do it by committee again, or they allow Ryan Pace to do it, and you're not sure if Ryan Pace is up to the task?
You know, Brian, I don't think there's a good answer to that question. Because I think that there's you know, do you want people that have done it before but have done it poorly before?
Swing and a miss, right? More often than not. Yeah.
Yeah. And or do you want do you think that the young guy might get it right because he will kind of, you know, have more of a sense of who's available? But I'm not sure. You know, again, he spent a lot of time in the building in New Orleans. I know he's out and about. I know he knows people in the league. But I'm sure that everybody knows John Fox's age and his coaching situation, and there's a lot of people. If you ever go to, and it's changed a lot, but the Senior Bowl in Mobile, you could sit there and you know who were the hot coaching candidates, and you could watch people watching them and waiting to have their moment to bump into them and basically,
oh, I have a resume right here.
Add me to your staff. You know, it is a place. It's like a coach's convention.
It's football's greatest job fair.
It is, yeah. And I think that you know, as much as everybody wants change, as much as we're most likely going to get change, I think that the Bears are a little hesitant about it, and I think they're a little afraid of the process, and I don't think that there is a conviction yet about what they're going to do. I think that they're going to let this thing play out, and they're going to see where they're at. And I you know, I found it predictable that John Fox would be under nothing but pressure when they lost to Green Bay, because I figured that was the game people had been aiming for. The Bears were better than expected in the first half. You get a bye week, you come out with that game, a winnable game, a game you're favored in, and you absolutely mess the bed. And I, you know, it didn't surprise me that there was this avalanche of reaction to it. Just as it won't surprise me if the Bears win this game or if the Bears, you know, go on and have a halfway decent year. I just think that it's not as obvious their thinking in the building as everybody wants it to be. And I think what seems apparent to you might not be apparent to them. And that's just because they operate in a different manner than a lot of teams do. They really operate in a different manner.
The most important thing for the organization, top to bottom right now, is to evaluate whether or not, from top to bottom, everyone's on the same page. Because the biggest thing that could cause a hindrance to the future of the Chicago Bears organization is if you have a head coach, a coaching staff, making decisions based on one train of thought with a front office thinking something differently. Here's the example. Fox right now is clearly on the hot seat.
Sure.
He's going to be coaching to win football games, meaning he's going to put the best possible players in position to try to win those games for him. But if the organization is going to move in a different direction, what they're going to be wanting to see is the next seven games. And let's face it, it's not a playoff contender. You can say that. You can understand where you're at. But the next seven games have to be about evaluating what you have on this roster and what you can use next year. Give yourself a head start so you know going into the draft and free agency what you need, what you've got, what you're excited about, where you need to cut bait. That's the biggest concern, because you want the right guys on the field to start looking ahead towards the future. And if Fox is coaching to save his butt, then he might be putting guys in position that the organization would rather not see.
Including the quarterback.
That's always the way it is. And I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Eventually, when you are eliminated and you know you're eliminated, and they're 3-6, so it's not like it's all going to turn out fine for them. They're very close to that. They're a couple weeks away. And again, when is the Philadelphia game? Is that their next opponent?
Yes,
after this?
After the Lions.
Okay, so they lose to the Lions, they lose to Philadelphia. Then you can start having that conversation. I just think that we are talking about quarterback development. You look at the draft that they had. They got you know, a quarterback that they traded up for, gave up a lot of value. They drafted a tight end from whatever. I don't even know what level he was playing in. I never heard of the school before. They drafted a running back from a similar place.
Yep.
Now, the running back is adapted quicker, and Tariq Cohen. But I just don't see a draft that was meant for this year. And I think they've already been on separate pages, Joe. I guess that's what I'm saying. If you were going to fire John Fox, shouldn't you before you drafted
right.
the coach
and
of the
And that's
future?
Why you're John Fox week in, week out, talk about how close they are, how competitive they are. They got grit. And how conservative they are, because they have to win in the now.
And a couple of those losses are on the quarterback that they paid $18.5 million for,
yeah.
that the general manager brought in to sort of buy off the coach while he drafted for the future. I just think, I'm not sure they're on the same page to begin with. And I understand what you're saying. I think it's an interesting point, and it's something to keep an eye on moving forward, especially when you're talking about developing that quarterback. We need to see him get better. And if he continues to get better, and Fox was claiming he got better, I don't know if that's accurate, but I think if he continues to get better, maybe something's different. All right, Joe, we're going to get to a scoreboard update, and then we're going to bring in Joe Fort. What?
We'll get to 7 years you've been programmed to think that way.
We haven't talked about that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. It's time to bring in our man in Vegas by way of San Francisco.
You want
to
call?
He's Joe Fort. I can't get him on the phone.
Yeah, I should go out in the hall and call in on the cell phone.
Right.
This might be the catalyst to turn this thing around, though. It was a slight winner last week, 4-3-1. But being in studio, perhaps it's been a rough season. We turn it around.
Wait,
right
we
here.
Just named tomorrow's event the Mush Party.
Yeah, Fadenball is Fadenball, what we're calling it in the Bay Area.
The Fadenball.
Fadenball. Shout out to my co-host Dan Dibley for coming up with that one. That was good stuff.
By the way, we're going to be Joe's hosting the Mush the Fadenball at 50-50.
The Fadenball. It should
yeah,
be
yeah right. Football.
Because we're watching football.
2047.
This just keeps evolving.
It's
I love
getting
it.
Getting better and better.
2047 West Division, right here in Chicago, and as Ming, our buddy from Benison Bakery, tells me, it's west of Damon. I won't tell you what he called me, but it's true. I should know Damon's 2000 West. Anyway, half block west of Damon. It's going to be great tomorrow. You're going to get there about 10:30 or so, I said?
Yeah, we're doing it at least 11 to 3. We got a flight to catch to Vegas in the early evening.
All your planes go to Vegas.
Yeah,
how did you end up here?
It's it sounds odd, but I'm going to get there a little bit early, but the first game kicks off at 11, and I've tailored some of the picks this week to fit inside the window. So if you want to bet against me, you can bet against me in person and let me know about it, or we can ride together and try to figure this thing out.
Can I just say that offends me at a really basic level, that you're not giving us the best plays, but the best plays in this window. I am really
questioning the wisdom of that. He needs to change it up, so maybe anything will help, right?
At least on the college schedule, there are so many games, you can find a few. We got lucky. The ones as I broke down the card and I tried to isolate four, two right out of the gate kick off at noon. Eastern, 11 here. Yeah, so, I mean, right out of the gate.
It's 11.
Yeah, and I do it on Pacific. So any note I literally put on here is going to be wrong today, one way or another. The first one's going to be Temple. Okay. Temple plus 14. This is a miserable card. You've got Michigan and Wisconsin, and that's like your biggest game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of that, we're going to go scrounging for the Drek. Temple plus 14 over UCF. A much closer matchup than the point spread's going to indicate here, because against four common opponents, these two have four common AAC opponents, Cincinnati, ECU, Navy, and UConn. Central Florida, who's undefeated, plus 137 yards per game in differential against those four. Temple's right there with them, plus 115 in differential. Temple's been peaking late. Central Florida has been regressing a bit. They haven't covered a spread in about 4 weeks. And more importantly, they're playing this game in Philadelphia. It's going to be cold. They're going to want to get in, get out, and get focused on the matchup with South Florida next week. You put 14 points on the board for Temple in that spot, I'll take the 14 points. We'll go with the Owls. Game number two, we're going to take another big favorite. And I heard you guys talking about this one yesterday, Virginia plus the points over Miami.
Yes.
Now, I've been on the wrong end of every Miami game I've played this season, yep. So I don't know if that's going to turn here. But you've got the Canes in the top four. They're peaking. Everything's breaking their way. They're off the massive win over Notre Dame, but they're going to be looking ahead to Clemson at some point. And at the same time, this is an early start. This is an early start. The crowd isn't going to be anything close to what they had last week. You can see it being a bit lackadaisical. Big get-up spot for Virginia. I want the 19 in my pocket in that situation. Game number three, we're going to go right back to where we were last week, Missouri. We talked about this with Paul Basir earlier, the importance of identifying the teams that have four wins with two games to play, five wins with one or two games to play. Six is the magic number because it's bowl eligibility. That's where Missouri is right now. They're one game away. They're laying 8.5 at Vanderbilt. They've won four straight, and they've won them by an average of 37 points per game. They're averaging 53 points per game during that spread. Vanderbilt has covered the number, I believe, just one time over the last seven games. So we're going to lay the points with Missouri at Vanderbilt. And then the final college game of the week, plus 17.5, Air Force at Boise. This game is pure trends. 27 Boise State games, the last 27 of them. The road team's 23-4. In addition to that, the last 17 Air Force games, the dog is 16-1. Those are both against the spread. Last five meetings between these two, Air Force has covered the number, and all of them will take 17.5 with Air Force. And if anyone rode Boise last week, which is a game I jumped on late, they came all the way back, needed the miracle late to take it to overtime, and then ended up covering 6.5 in overtime. That took everything out of them. So here comes Air Force. You got to be disciplined for this Falcon offense.
Took everything out of everyone who bet on them, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a game where I woke up and saw that I had won. I had already gone to bed.
I think the Northwestern game is at 11. Doesn't that fit into the window? Do you have an opinion on Minnesota at Northwestern? I believe that's a 7-point spread.
Not much, to be honest with you. I was looking at that game. I was looking at Michigan-Wisconsin as well.
Yeah.
With Michigan, I keep thinking to myself, I keep thinking the over. It's set at 39. Everyone's taking the under in this game. I think Harbaugh's team's going to show up. They've only got two losses. I mean, yeah, they're still alive to win their side. They still control their destiny on their side of the equation in the Big Ten. And then Wisconsin's going to be able to put up some points at Camp Randall. I think this one, you get a couple big defensive plays in this game. Getting over 39, I don't think it's going to be as hard of a struggle.
When was the last time you saw 39 for a total in a college game?
Exactly. I mean, maybe Alabama-LSU when they played each other twice back in 2011, I want to say.
What did it open at?
Are you talking about the Wisconsin game?
The total, yeah, in the Michigan game.
I think 40. I think it opened 40 and got bet down to 39. So there, I don't know if it's going to be weather or what, but I think you're going to get at least college football moves so much slower than the NFL with all the clock stoppages and everything designed to help out the offenses. Going over 39 in that game is one I like as well.
The Illinois at Ohio State game, oh. Ohio State only favored by 41. I don't know if that comes into play, but they need to win big. They need to cover, really.
Here's the kicker for them. They've got Michigan on deck. Biggest game of the year every single year, no matter who says anything about Penn State or whatever it may be. History has shown in the games leading up to those massive rivalry showdowns, if you've got a game in there that doesn't command your full attention,
it's hard to
win. Urban Meyer's not going to want to show the whole offense.
Lose. Illinois is going to beat.
Illinois in the upset. No, you don't even need the points.
But, you know, Molly makes a great point, though. This is different because a two-loss Ohio State team needs every style point. They have to impress. They can't just eke one out. They can't win by 13, 14 points. They have to get on the throat and really.
And, you know, the reason I asked you about Northwestern is because they're a three-loss team, right? But they've won five in a row.
Right.
And I think when you look, and they're ranked 25th. When you look at the three-loss teams, they're usually teams that have just lost a couple of games or lost a game, it's rare that you start the season with the three losses and then start winning games as you move on.
Right. You'd assume that team would continue to struggle in some way, shape, or form rather than figure it out so quickly. The NFL gives you more time to figure it out, whether you're in the hunt or not. College football, you're either done or you're done. And, you know, back to the Ohio State thing, that many points, you're right. They need the style points. That they do have several teams in front of them that are going to have to play each other with the chance of
Auburn,
knocking them
Alabama.
Out. Exactly. And for years, everyone's been criticizing, myself included, the Big 12 for not having a conference championship game. It's what burned them the year TCU and Baylor got left out in exchange for Ohio State. Now you've got the conference championship game. It only serves to hurt that conference. The Oklahoma is in. The only way that game does anything to the national championship picture is if the Sooners get upset, and then it ruins things for the Big 12.
Yeah, that's a very good point. About the NFL, you got any NFL picks for us?
We do. We're looking at a few here. I like the over in the Minnesota Rams game. It's about 45.5. Now, a lot of people are going to look at this, and the early action brought it down on the under. People were betting the under early. Jared Goff and the Rams travel really well, and this is something you want to look at when you're trying to break down the Super Bowl. It's just kind of an aside here, but over the last 5 years, the 60 teams that have made the Super Bowl, their combined winning percentage on the road during the regular season was 62%, right? Winning on the road is indicative of playoff success. Only it's less than 15% of those teams in the playoffs last 5 years had a road record of sub 500. It's very rare that that happens. The Rams are 4-0 on the road, and more importantly, they're scoring points on the road, 41, 35, 27, and 51 in their four road games.
Wow.
Now, Minnesota can play some defense, but they've also been scoring as of late, averaging 32 points per game over their last three outings. I think this one catches people by surprise, and you get a lot of points going over 45.5. As we talked about earlier, I'm going to lay it with the Patriots in Mexico City. I get a firsthand look at the Raiders every single week working in the Bay Area. I'm on the Raider flagship. Something is noticeably wrong with this football team, and people can't put their finger on it. The play calling's been suspect. Del Rio's overall coaching has been suspect. The offensive line isn't stepping up. Carr's regressed. Amari Cooper can't get open, and the defense is dreck. Tom Brady is going to have his way with this team.
Wow.
I caught it at 6.5. You can lay it with 7. Any 6-point teaser play should be tied into this as well. I don't see how Oakland does it. Just the very basic level. Do you trust Jack Del Rio to outcoach Bill Belichick?
Has he brought in a tree stump and an axe?
Exactly.
You know, they're desperate.
Wood.
Yeah, keep chopping. No, don't chop your leg. I said chop the wood. Didn't the kicker chop his leg with
the punter?
Yeah.
Nearly chopped it off.
Yeah.
That happened.
And then game number three would be over Denver and Cincinnati. I think it's a similar situation. Everyone evaluates the Broncos. Well, you know, they struggle at quarterback, but they got this great defense. Well, do they? Last three games out, they're giving up 40 points a game. 40 points a game. And this is a team 2 years removed for the Super Bowl. They know what it takes to win in the playoffs, and they're looking at Osweiler and realizing we can't win with this guy. So I think they've kind of checked it in on the season. Cincinnati should go in there and find a way to put some points up. 39 is the total. I'd play over Bengals, Broncos.
You talk about Oakland. You get a view of San Francisco, too.
Yeah.
Is that team – I mean, I think that team's significantly better than the Browns, and they're going to come in here – both teams, Browns and Niners, are going to come in here later in the year. But I'm just curious – where are they at with the quarterback? What are you seeing from that team? Are they able to make a jump as the season goes on?
I took a lot of heat this week because I'm convinced, and this wasn't trolling, this wasn't in an attempt to get people riled up. I think the Niners get back to their conference title game before the Raiders get to theirs. And I would take 3-1 on it. I talked to as many bookmakers as possible. 3-1 was the lowest price I got on that. And even though you can't actually make a bet like that, I think the Niners get back first. Now, it's not to say I believe Kyle Shanahan's going to be a genius and that Garoppolo's the next Brady, but the Raiders are trending in the wrong direction, and you're probably going to see the Jimmy Garoppolo version of the 49ers here in a few weeks. But right now, at the very least, Shanahan has a team lacking in talent playing very, very hard. You saw that against the Giants.
Yeah.
The payroll discrepancy, the talent discrepancy, and the Niners kicked them all over the field. That's coaching. That's a guy who's got the locker room.
All right. We're going to bring in Jeff Jodiak next, but Joe's going to stick around, and we're going to get to him. We'll ask him before we get out of here about some gambling tips, some ideas, some things to look at, kind of like Ming just did. Right?
Yes.
Didn't he just
he was here picking Joe's brain?
I was like, let's get that one on the air.
He brought the pastry, so he wanted a little something from Joe. Hey, help a guy out in a parlay, yeah.
Mully and Hanley on the score.
You're listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.